Welcome to the Packweight Show. Yo, welcome back to the Packweight Show. We're here with our OG good friend, Garrett Peters. Check the mic, my friend. Can we hear you?
Can you hear me?
Mic check. This is episode 4, Give It To Your Raw. And as you can see, we're back with our homie 24, Garrett Gold, today to chat some old school rollerblading with us. And my co-host, as always, JQ and Frank. How are you, homies?
What up? What up, B? What up, Garrett?
What up, Frank?
What's up, guys? How's it going?
What's up, guys?
So good to see you on a lovely happening? Spring South African day. Spring, yeah. Almost summer.
Finally got some summer here.
Yeah. In typical South Africa fashion, Garrett's power is off. So if he drops off unexpectedly, then we'll just pick up the recording another time. And yeah, on that note, I thought maybe Garrett, you wanted to tell us how exactly you know Frank and where you two grew up.
I was going to ask that actually. Like, how did you guys become friends? Because obviously we've always known you two together, but
do you really
tell
want
us.
To know?
Yeah.
Do you really want to know?
Well, obviously through skating, you know, we met through skating, but yeah, I mean, we always didn't skate all the time. So, you know, yeah, we hung out and, you know, did what teenagers did and got up to trouble. Frank taught me how to be naughty, you know.
And you taught him how to fight.
Hell yeah.
I was a good boy until I met Frank.
Yeah, right.
Two peas in a pod, I reckon.
And this is obviously in Rustenburg. So did you guys go to the same high school there, or what was
no,
the vibe? Where did you know each other?
I was at the English high school, and there weren't actually any English kids that were skating, you know. It was weird, you know. I was like, all the skater kids were all Afrikaans kids, you know, most of them. And then it was just me and my one friend Eugene. He was the only English guy. And we skateboarded first, and then we started rollerblading. And then, yeah, that's, I mean, there was only like one half pipe in Rustenburg. So, you know, we met each other like that. And at parties, you know, we, you know, through meeting Frank, we, you know, and the Afrikaans skaters, we went to a lot of their parties. And, you know, we socially hung out quite a lot as well, not just through skating, you know. So, yeah, I mean, most of the Afrikaans guys were skaters. I think I was, hey, Frank, who else but me and Eugene and Anthony, you know. There was another kid, Anthony.
Anthony, yeah.
He was also very good at rollerblading. Yo, he was actually freaking good, eh, old Anthony.
Yeah, rollerbladed before us. He started
but yeah, mostly the Afrikaans guys were, especially skateboarding, you know, like there was a big skateboard scene as well. Mm. You know, there was a like an older bunch of guys than us, and they were mostly like the skateboarders, and, you know, the skateboard era, I guess, were the guys a bit older than us, you know, the 70s kids.
Well, that's super interesting because it was pretty countercultural. You know, we're talking early 90s, and yes, rollerblading had been popular, but I think the vibe with all of us was a sort of punk, right? Like, it was at that stage, punk music was a big thing. And I know Cliff was mentioning in the last episode, you know, we're watching bands, and like there was a strong counterculture ethic. And I think, you know, maybe that's why more of your other friends gravitated towards it then.
If we're gonna talk punk, let me tell you a story.
Yes.
I mean, we grew up in Rustenburg, and I mean, like I said, we socially hung out a lot other than the skating, you know. And there was a massive music punk scene, and, you know, obviously music scene, everyone loved music, you know, as kids, you know, we all listened to, I mean, Nirvana was massive, but obviously then punk, bro, you know, when we started skating, there was a lot of punk, and Rustenburg had two punk bands, bro, like in that such a small town, we had two punk bands. So, and they played with Leek. The one band was signed to, I think, Leek, eh, Frank? To Leek's label? Since I don't know. I couldn't remember. But, yeah, two decent punk bands that came out of South, from Rustenburg, right? Madcap and fucking Milk, eh? And they were badass, dude. They were badass. And I mean, we as the skaters would obviously support them and go to all their shows, you know?
They were also part of our friend group, all of the people in those bands.
The lead singer of Madcap, which is our friend Tace Milan, I mean, he was a rollerblader as well. He rollerbladed with us, you know, and he was the lead singer of the punk band. So that, I mean, the punk and the skating was like one thing, you know. And then obviously there was like a leak in Pretoria. I mean, and they were also just, I think even the guys in the bands were like pro skaters, you know, skateboarder dudes, as far as I know.
Yeah, exactly. Very close-knit communities. As you say, the same people are skateboarding, rollerblading, BMXing, bands, like, and then, like, yeah, it was a very sort of alternative culture at the time.
Yeah, it was huge. It was, like I say, they were one thing, you know. It was there wasn't, like, a difference. Like I said, the guys that were skating with us were singing in the bands, and the same in Pretoria and the cities as well, you know. So we just had like a little microcosm of that exact same thing in Rustenburg, which was powerful, eh? It was, bro, that's just like, I don't know, that's for a whole other interview, the power that whole thing created in such a small town. It was like, dude, it was insane. Like, I don't know, you had to be there to have felt it, you know, because there was a lot of, in such a conservative town, there was a lot of animosity against it, you know. Like, I mean, the punk rock shows, like, we used to hire a hall. Because we had such a big community that supported this, you know, we used to, like, or the bands used to, like, get permission or hire a hall and have entrance. And they'd be like, bro, 100-plus kids there, dude, you know, in a small little town like that. You got to think about it, dude. The jocks used to come and park outside of the events just to, like, beat us up. That's how the animosity was for this shit, dude. That's how the energy around this whole thing was, dude. And, I mean, these weren't even, like, school jocks. Like, they were, like, other school jocks that, like, this was affecting them or freaking them out so much that they had to now come and, like, see what the hell was up and, like I say, like, try to beat us up all the time and, like, threaten us and, you know, call us names. And I think it was very threatening for them. It must have been, you know.
Totally. Their masculinity was really threatened by young skating kids enjoying music and not giving a fuck. So
in the punk thing, we were like, oaks were painting their nails, dyeing their hair, you know, punk, you know.
Yeah.
And that was like,
Mohawks, that
freaked them out, bro.
No, totally. The satanic panic ran deep in a lot of these old conservative places. Like, honestly, things that are normal for kids and teenagers to do get so vilified. Like, you know, dressing up and listening to music and playing Dungeons and Dragons or skating or whatever. Like, how does it affect you?
Yeah, totally, dude. Just you let know, people painting your be. Nails or...
why does it bother you unless you have some deep-seated insecurity about yourself and your sexuality and your
Totally,
masculinity?
Dude.
Yeah, 100%. No, totally,
you know, yeah, it was obviously, you know, very threatening to them, just like rollerblading was to skateboarding.
Well, we'll get there. Let's start with rollerblading, and then we'll bring it back to that. This start with this picture, which I think we saw in the first episode, but what a classic here at Boogaloo's.
This was the first crew. Billy, Alexis, Christian, Frank, and myself. That's a good photo. That's a good one.
That is a good day of rollerblading, and that looks like nighttime.
That was a great day of rollerblading.
Yeah.
I remember there used to be the night, because the Boogaloo skate park, they used to have lights that would come on. And the photos from that your sister dug up and shared with us showed a few of those night sessions. And I remember the night sessions, they were just epic.
Yeah, dude. Amazing, dude.
What surprised me, though, is that we were there at the same time, but we never met each other. We never saw each other. I don't know. Somehow we were there at the same time, also rollerblading, but somehow like we met Herman, but we didn't meet you guys. You know, and you met Herman as well. So I don't know how it's weird that we kind of missed each other until later, you know, and then only in Kailami did we actually connect and skate. Yeah,
I think Kailami is where it all really came together, you know. Yeah, Boogaloo's was nuts though. I mean, dude, that was like heaven when I was that age there. That was like the only, like, I mean, living in Rustenburg, it's like super far. So going there was like amazing.
Yeah.
I think it was because there were so many rollerbladers back then at Boogaloo's.
Mm.
You stuck with your crew and you didn't really mix with the other crews because there was really like hundreds of kids.
Yeah.
And I mean, seeing Herman for the first time, I mean, dude, I was like, who's this freaking guy? Is he American?
Is he a robot Terminator sent to destroy all mini ramps?
Bro, Boogaloo's was Herman's house, bro. That's Herman's house.
Yeah, totally.
He killed it there, bro.
Dude, that spine ramp, bro. That time, do you remember in Lausanne, Frank? So, speaking of the spine ramp there from Boogaloo's, we went to Lausanne for the World Championships in 1998 with Herman and Cliff and I can't remember who else was there.
Uriah.
Schmidl was there, Uriah. It's after the comp or something, like the runs for the day. It's like late-ish in the afternoon. And we're all cruising around and like, dude, the whole city is just rollerblading, bro. Even on the little milks for your coffee, there's rollerbladers, like, you know, pro rollerbladers at the McDonald's or whatever, dude. It's like, you know, like voting for the ANC, that was just rollerblade posters, bro, everywhere over the whole city. And then it's like afternoon time. So there's all these bunches of skaters that are following the pros around, like just hordes, dude, of kids. And then we check, there's a vibe going on there and we walk and there's a spine ramp there that's similar to the Boogaloo's mini, dude. And Herman and Cliff are smashing it, bro, smashing everyone on that ramp, dude. Everyone was just stopping to watch the two of them skate the ramp, but mostly Herman, bro. Dude, Herman was destroying it, bro. It was amazing, dude. Like, gives me goosebumps to talk about it now, bro. It's just fucking great.
Sick, dude.
So legendary. Exporting the best in the world.
Yes, dude.
Come skate your mini ramp.
Yes, and we still... That was the night we drank gummy berry juice. Was the first time I had Red Bull and vodka. Do you remember, Frank?
Yeah.
That's what Cliff and them were calling it. I don't know what, but they were... when Cliff was in these, like, Lelequie stages. Yo, dude. So funny.
We met up with Kato and all of those guys from REMS.
Yeah. That's the first time we saw REMS, remember? First time I saw REMS was there at Lausanne.
So these pictures, I just want to send thanks and shout out to Garrett's sister, Dez, who scanned a bunch of really cool photos that she had found. So thank you, Dez. And I think we're looking at some Rustenburg street skating spot here. Garrett, where is this rail?
This is Cape Town.
Okay.
Yeah.
My bad. Okay, Cape Town.
Badass rail going into the train area, bro. That is a badass rail.
I remember it, actually.
Yeah. I fucking like fish grain that rail.
That's you doing a top acid there, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a top acid, but there's another one where I'm doing a rocket fish down there old bit.
Sick, dude. But I dig that photo just with the light coming through and just this dark alley and trash.
Dude, that was a normal film camera.
That was.
That's a normal really sick film photo. Camera, right?
These are sick photos.
My sister took those photos.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, a normal person would walk through there and think, oh, this is disgusting, the trash, and, you know, and I think we saw it as, this is amazing, what a playground, you know what I mean?
Exactly. No one wants to be here, it's trash.
No one wants to be there, but, you know, we'd spend a good few hours at these spots, like, similar to Joburg Town. I mean, it was, yeah.
Yeah. No, that was awesome. That was, like I say, in Cape Town, we took the train with that guy. His name was Gregor Butcher, but he's not the Gregor Butcher that we know. He was like a German kid that I met skating one day, and he was like, come, I'll show you some spots. He was pretty good as well. But yeah, that was just met a dude, random rollerblader that was skating, like, you know. And then, yeah, hooked up, went skating with him, me and my sister, and we took those photos. That's when rollerblading was banging, bro. Yo. I had that photo I can still remember. I've got the Eric Schrein little matchstick t-shirt.
Mm. Oh, I love that shirt. I love that shirt as well.
That's so great.
I remember you wearing that.
That was a sick shirt.
And here we go.
Doubles, Frankie.
Frankie. You two were quite a duo.
Huh? That's a
I remember in doubles, it'd always be like Cliff and Herman, Garrett and Frank, Nick and I normally, Byron and Matt or Byron and Gaz.
Yeah.
Everyone had their go-to partner that they would try and beat Cliff and Herman, basically.
Yeah, everyone just tried to beat Cliff and Herman, bro.
Yeah, everyone was just like aiming for that spot.
Yeah.
But yeah, this must have been, I think you guys were still living in Rustenburg at this stage. Huh? You were coming through.
I think so. This was like matric, bro. This is when I went. This was Majestic still.
This is when we went
to the World Cup, Frank. This.
This was after Luzon.
No, bro. Luzon, I bought Fifth Element. I bought a pair of Fifth Elements in Luzon. So this is before Luzon. I got my fifths in Luzon.
So a lot of the photos from Kyle Army that Des scanned are from 97, the Capri Sun vibe there at Kyle Army.
Oh, right.
All from one comp. You'll see all the branding is everywhere. So that's the only reason I know. But yeah, some great photos from that time, especially showing the level of competition. I think it was the crowd, the sponsors, it was kind of at its peak at this point with just participation and interest. And
Yeah, dude, these comps were banging. And the cliff rail, bro, that's when the cliff was dangerous.
Yeah, this was the initial incantation where it was really scary. It was big and steep, yeah.
That rail is so badass, dude.
It's a mad obstacle to like build into that arena. This rail coming off the side, fucking massive platform. Like, yeah, it was no joke to grind that rail.
Dude. 3, 2, 1, you're in. Oh my God.
And then your first trick's
so nerve wracking, eh?
When your first trick's a disaster and you gotta like pull yourself together. You wreck yourself and then you're just like, this is gonna be a long minute.
A lot of my first tricks were big bangers over the box and a lot of the times they banged out.
Yeah, but we were so fit back then, you'd get up and you'd still manage to pull off a run.
You do good.
It was crazy. And when you bailed on your first trick, it was always like you got up so quickly, you were like back
forget
at
about
it in like no time.
Shook it off.
Forget about that one, guys.
Don't worry, I've got a next one.
Yes, Byron Hamley there with a rocket fish at like 10 years old. How old are you?
I'm guessing 14, bro. Bleached hair puts it at 14. It must be.
Yes, like, bro.
I think your sister caught this pick at the perfect time because as a 14-year-old, there's no way I was rocking that right to the end of that rail. She just caught the perfect picture there.
Looks sick, though.
I was trying to figure out if that was Neil Jacobs in the background. I'm not actually sure.
I thought it was Campbell, but I could be wrong.
No, maybe. Rocketfish had just become super popular because of it must have been John Julio or everyone starting to rocket in the magazines.
Was Julio,
yeah. G4.
That was the move. John Julio, bro, on top of that tattoo. That was for me. the definer.
But that was the only way we did fish brains back then. Yeah, we didn't do normal type fish brains. We just did rocket fish brains.
Yeah.
It's because it was a little bit of a safety net as well. Yeah, it does, but it's a little bit of a safety net, right? Because if you're doing a full standing up fish brain where you're more forward and over it, you're much more committed than like rocket fish. You're kind of sitting on it and like...
You can just bum off of it. Boom.
Yeah.
Stand up fish brain is always the more gnarly one, you know, obviously. Stand up grab.
Yeah.
Stand grab fish brain. That's
But it's interesting how tricks would go through those phases as well. You would find... You know, someone would have like a new style, a new way of doing it, and then it comes back around where you're more committed, more like, I don't know, sideways, more upright, or no grab, this grab. Like, it was an interesting time. But specifically around this time, the rocket fish had become so popular that it was like everyone wanted to rock those.
It was madness. It was the trick at the time, right?
Mm.
It was awesome.
It was so interesting because then stuff like a sidewalk came out around the same time, and like that didn't have the staying power of other tricks, you know, like no one will do a sidewalk anymore.
Yeah.
Like it's a strange
just mess with skates to just mess their skates up. Like they used to like cut holes in the like side of their skates from doing it too much.
And I mean, other than John Julio,
sidewalk in the curve.
Yeah. It just seems so weird to hang your back leg, you know, like other than John Julio, it never looked good to me. It never was something like, ooh, I really want to learn to do that, you know. But I wasn't going to say it.
It's more of a novelty, to be honest. Bit of a novelty.
Yeah.
I did them when they just came out, you know.
Yeah.
To me, it was always like a porn star gone wrong, you know? Like,
you
didn't keep your legs up.
Like, it's like if your porn star doesn't land properly, you just sidewalk it.
At this time, though, as well, do you remember, like, wheelbarrows and training wheels had started?
Yes.
And hobos. Yes. The hobos.
Backslide
with a toe roll. And so those are kind of back.
Wasn't it?
Dude, they are back. The whole of the them team are like rocking those hard.
Yeah. Toe rolls, heel rolls. Like,
a lot of them are bringing those back.
I dig the grind with one foot and rolling a wheelbarrow. It's pretty sick. Training wheel.
Yeah.
What's the other one? When you roll your front foot's topside and your back foot's on your toes, you're rolling the back foot. So it's
that's
the opposite of a training wheel. No, training wheel is your foot forward.
What is the other one you mentioned? That's the foot forward.
Hobo. There's a hobo.
Hobo is a royale.
Hobo's, yes.
It's a royale and the front foot is backwards. And you're going that way, like this.
Uh-huh.
Royale toe.
What was the other one called, though? You know what I mean? Your front foot starts.
Wheelbarrow.
Wheelbarrow. Yeah. Wheelbarrow was
wheelbarrow.
Training.
Yeah, that was training wheel.
Yeah. But no, that's wheelbarrow. Training wheel was the back one.
The back one was wheelbarrow.
I disagree.
Really?
But
we need an expert.
Chime in the comments.
I don't know.
Please help us settle this.
Yeah. In the comments, let us know all the wheelie tricks.
Anyone knows?
Don't forget to subscribe while you're there.
And click that bell. Ding ding.
It's free for you and it means a lot to us. So just but yeah. All those tricks are novelties though. Those tricks are not gonna last the test of time. Fish brains will last the test of time.
So what's wheelbarrow on the fifth rail there on the other photo? Who's that?
That's Frank, isn't it? I thought it was
That's
Frank.
That's me.
Frank with a fish brain.
Like a tight fish brain.
No.
Tight fish. Huh? Oh, nice.
Semi-rocket.
Mm. No, that's tight.
No, it was more of a tight, tighty.
Mm.
Back then, I think in those Capri-Sun days, the tight ones started coming back. So.
Mm. Super stylish.
I think that was way after this fish brain beaded.
Anyone kind of fish down the cliff was...
Yeah, dude.
For sure.
Pretty serious business, bro.
Yeah, for sure. Because you miss the fish brain on there. You're hitting hip and you're going face down. That thing was steep, man. Over the years, it actually got ribs. Yeah, exactly. Ribs and stuff. Over the years, it got degraded a bit. Or like, I know that. I mean, turned the angle down. It wasn't quite so steep, and it got chilled out over the years.
Turn that angle down.
Yeah, some legendary pictures. On the left, we got Alex Grohl with Craig Uriah and Greg Norman. Man, that looks so young, dude.
I think that's Dez in the red shirt there.
Dez in the red shirt.
Look how busy the park was.
Oh, that's sick.
And those Rosie sweaters, I never had one of those. Only the top Rosie's guys had them. And at this time, I think Garrett and I and Frank probably
were not on the top of the park.
Yeah, we weren't.
No.
The team was like Alex Grohl, Craig Uriah, Clifford, Herman. I don't know who else. Probably Toby and Nick.
Toby. And Nick,
yeah.
It's funny because those jumpers did eventually get swapped down. Remember the swap meets where dudes would be like, I'll give you this for that. And I know Gazza ended up with one of those Rossi's jumpers.
Yes, I remember Gaz got one.
Yeah.
I think he got Craig Uriah's or Cliff's.
Could have been. Yeah, Cliff was always swapping.
Mm.
Yeah.
And speaking of Cliff on the right, we got Cliff and Garrett. Garrett rocking the yellow Senate shirt. Ooh,
what that shirt.
I got that one from Cliff Swap Meet.
Is it?
The glowing beacon of beautiful Senate shirt. Oof, oh, man. Bro.
And it, you know, at the on the back, at the bottom, it had the little Superman green logo at the back. Mm. Oh, dude, that shirt was precious. I think my sister still has that shirt, dude.
No way.
It's probably not in great condition, but I think she's got it.
Well, it's going on 30 years.
People pay an arm and a leg for those.
Yeah, dude, those were banging, eh? Yo, there was some Senate gear that was just off the hinges.
But the turnout at the events was super impressive to me. I mean, it's not like, I don't know, it's not like there was any way to really know about it unless you got a physical flyer somehow, or like a friend phoned you to say.
Were there even flyers, dude? Like, were there flyers made
for I don't know. Posters, maybe.
Was it ever advertised? I don't remember it being advertised ever. Like,
I don't know.
There must have been some posters up around skate shops and at the park.
Yeah.
I remember there were a couple of posters. Remember, well, maybe, I don't know about back.
Oh, yes.
But I mean, where would you put the posters? You know what I mean?
At a skate park or a skate shop, anywhere else is a waste.
Yeah, I suppose. So the turnout was always so good, you know. I don't know. People didn't have much else going on, I guess.
it was super popular at the time.
I think they started advertising it on TV a bit.
Well, in the latest stages, we had freaking Ready D there, bro.
Yeah,
you know, it was a jolt to come to the comps.
It was a vibe.
Yeah.
Some more from those times.
That slow, like only in Majestics could you grab your backslide like that and just sit on it, and it would slowly take you down.
The backslides on Majestics. There was nothing like that. To this day, there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
I think the trade-off was you couldn't really do a torque or a Fafnugen in those skates, right? Because they were so slow that like they were perfect for in-outs and backslides. But if you were to try like a torque or something, which was not really a trick at the time, I suppose, but it would have just been way too slow. So is that Garrett on the pick on the left?
I think it's Craig, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
No, that's Craig and Herman, I think.
No, on the left. Doing the backslide.
Oh, that's probably me, bro.
Yeah, it is you, Garrett. Yeah, I'm just looking on the bigger screen here. Very, very cool.
Yeah, backslides were the jam, bro. Oof.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you were actually grinding through your boot. You were actually ruining your skates by doing a proper backslide because there wasn't that built-in backslide plate that there is now. You were actually, and that's why it was so slow, because once you wore through your boot, you had a little break almost. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, John, you're exactly right. This was the stage when, like, it was just boot and there was no extra skate there, extra padding, or what do you want to call it? Like, as you say, the grinding plate.
It was actually lacquer. When it got, like, thin, you could almost feel the rail with your foot.
on your foot.
I don't know if you remember. It was, like, lacquer.
Full control. Bareback on the backslide.
I even had a hole in my skate from doing
Yeah,
totally. And so this time, like, obviously the skates weren't designed for that, but they got used for that. And then the newer iterations of skates would have these additional changes and plates and stuff to compensate for, you know, the places where you're planning on breaking the skate. So it's also interesting how, like, the times evolved and then the skates would evolve with the tricks that were happening. And yeah, I mean, any day now they're going to put an extra grind plate over the top for your sidewalks. Jokes. Sick picture on the right of Herman and Craig Uriah.
Keep going.
Go ahead.
No,
those t-shirts look unused.
Brand new. Yeah. Opened on the day.
Yeah, remember all the fiction stuff was coming through. Somehow we were getting our hands on a lot of nice clothing. I think it was coming from overseas. I think Oaks was starting to order online, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But Team Paradise.
Yes, dude. Team Paradise. Wow. But B, can we zoom in at all here? No.
I don't think so, bro.
Because my best part of that photo is that dude's dad on the stand there in that red sweater. And those, if you zoom in, that is the most badass dad. I don't know whose dad it is, but he's scoping the scene. He's got those, like, you know, like those Oakley glasses that everyone wears now. He's got those, got the mustache. That's a tough.
He's got a real Magnum PI, real Magnum PI vibe going on.
Anyone knows whose dad that is? Let's shout him out.
Props to all the moms and dads that were out there supporting us roadblading. Seriously, thank you. It was so awesome.
Yeah, dude. Like, my mom, dude, supported my roadblading. She supported, like, the whole of Rustenburg's roadblading, dude. Like,
totally.
She didn't take us to the skate park. Fucking, No, I'm joking. Mom also took us a lot, and Christian's mom as well. But yeah, dude, my mom was super supportive, bro. Yo, very.
It's so cool.
And it was quite a trip, eh? It's a 2-hour drive to Kailami from Rustenburg.
Bro. And my sister, bro. My sister went everywhere with us, bro. Skated with us everywhere.
Mm.
That's how she took all those photos, you know? She was always rolling with us.
Yeah.
Mm.
So cool. So who's bioing on the left here? Is that Frank?
I thought it was Frank.
I don't think so. The bio is Frank.
Yeah, it definitely is. Which is cool. A little Red Bull car pulled up onto the skate park and then dudes were bioing over it.
Bios were also big.
Mm.
Quite a spectacle.
Yeah, those were hectic days. I think we even did these trains where we went over the cars.
Like Five Oaks buying one after the other. Pew, pew, pew.
That's awesome.
Sun team.
Fire off a rocket barrage of bios. That's so cool. And Cliff's face here with Craig and Greg Norman. Man.
Yeah, that's a great photo. That's
such a great photo.
Peak sunsets at Kailami, vibing.
So lekker.
Oh man, and here's a couple of Garrett. On the left, we got
there's the talk in Majestics.
actually pulled it off. It's a super stylish photo there.
Where is that on the left, Garrett? Where are you there? It looks like some sort of a house party or something.
Kailami. On the left. I can't see what's going on on the left.
On the left is Kailami, I think, because that's the hip rail.
Yeah, I also think so.
Like on the tennis court.
The hip rail,
That's the hip rail that Cliff was talking about last episode.
The one is a porn star at like some portable rail in Rustenburg for sure.
And then
the other one is H Street in Cape Town, where I'm doing the talk.
Okay.
Yes.
Steez.
I don't know if you remember H Street, or that's what they used to call it. It's there. Matt did the roll on the one side like that. There was all the curbs and stuff. Yeah. It's like in town there by...
Like a civic center, I think?
Yeah.
Civic center,
Yeah, that's that. I think there's another photo where I'm doing a porn star where you can see the sculpture thing.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
I don't know if you put it on, but then you'll know what I'm talking about. If you see the sculpture, you'll know what place it is.
Yeah, it's the civic center.
Is it?
No.
Mad Styles on the front talk there.
Yo.
That's my best photo. I love that one. The hair, the eyes. The one on the left. Dig it. That was
your place in Rosebank, John.
I was going to say, because the only reason I knew that is I recognized that couch.
Yeah.
Those couches were with me for way too long. They were still fresh there, actually.
And shout out to Herman. He's got the wrist strengthener ball.
Oh, remember that thing.
The gyro.
Yes.
The gyro ball, yes.
No way. Yeah.
Because our wrists were always taking a beating. And that thing, you'd turn it like this and it strengthens all your wrist muscles. He looks very serious about it there. So.
I think at this stage we were like almost rollerblading all day, every day, bro. At that photo, the gyro ball. Dude, we were skating insane.
So much, yeah.
Mm. We did a lot of shows back then and we were skating like pretty much every day.
I think we were...
Crew pushing hard.
Yeah. I mean, I was 20. Yeah, 20. When Herman and I lived there, 19 or 20. So you must have been...
I was 21. This was just before I went overseas, or just after I came back from overseas, from London.
Is it?
I went to London at 21.
Okay, so you didn't... That wasn't the crack flat then?
No. This was the crack flat era. This was before I went to London.
Okay.
So then you, from the crack flat, you went to London and then came back. Okay.
Yeah.
How long were you in London for?
Like 2 years.
Yo, that's long, bro.
Yeah.
And did you skate that side much or?
Not really, eh? Mm. I was just, missioning. Fuck, I don't know. I went to the PlayStation Park once or twice there, but just very rarely. I mean, I was there with Cliff as well. Cliff hardly even skated as well.
Mm.
You know? Mm. I mean, and we lived together, basically. We lived very close together. Well, him and I shared a room for a while, actually, in London. So, we didn't really skate. Eh? I don't remember us very much.
No, you're grafting.
Was it always a case of just going there to work for a little bit and then come back? Or were you kind of...
That was the mission. I was like, yes, I'm going to go work there, save up money and come back and be rich.
Yeah.
Everything worked out perfectly.
kind of did.
Yeah. I went after you came back and Cliff was still there.
Cliff was there for a while.
Yeah, this picture on the right must have been before the one on the left, I'd say.
After.
Really?
Is from Durban.
After,
New Year's. New Year's in Durban. That photo.
Good memory.
What's it? Me, Jackal, Cliff, and who's there?
Herman.
Herman, yeah.
Mm.
New Year's Eve in Durban in the Canefields parties or some shit like that. Yeah.
Sounds about right. Yeah, New Year's Eve parties were always a big thing.
Yeah. That was a badass New Year's Eve party, dude. There was you know those Canefield parties in the sugar cane field parties in Durban? It was in Belito, bro. Dude, an ambulance was coming into the cane field to pick up some people who got hurt, and people were kicking the ambulance. Dude, this is what? 2003, bro.
Yeah.
Not 2003. Dude, I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
People weren't getting under control there to pick people up. You know?
And I think, well, it's just to touch on that, like, no one had phones, so you could get away with more shit. You, like, now I think people think twice a little bit before doing something because you're gonna get caught on video. Chances are 90% you're gonna get caught on video for something stupid that you do. Whereas here you could be as stupid as you liked.
Exactly.
Yeah, as long as you don't get caught.
We took full advantage.
Yes. Where's that one on the left? That looks like it goes back.
One on the left, Yokes, is that looks, Thrashes? Looks
very young. Yeah. Oh, Thrashes.
Is that Thrashes?
One
yes.
on the left is a Thrashes. That guy bending down in the foreground is Nick Exner.
Yes, that's right.
Exner, yeah.
I was wondering who that was.
Man,
but this was ages ago, bro.
And the one on the right is the same New Year's Eve party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, really?
There you are, B.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Garrett's wearing the same stuff. That was the same the same party.
The same
of course.
Evening as the other one.
Yeah. Couple of Zamalex going on there, Black Label. Chris, the gents were rocking it.
was that
on the faces.
Was that not the beach party? No, you said it was the Canefields.
Well, beach party, it was in Durban.
Yeah.
It was two parts.
I remember one day in like Margate one New Year's, and we were all together and we went and it was just so many people on the beach, like hundreds, if not thousands. And we were walking and we just saw a big quartz bottle fly over our heads and knocked this dude in front of us, and he just dropped. And we were like, yo, this is getting a bit too wild. I think we should get out of here, boys. Like, it's getting, But that could have been a few years later. I think it could have been a few years later. But, yeah, those random bottles being thrown in a crowd.
Dude, so bad. So hectic back then. Like you say, no one had phones, so... No one got filmed or, anything happened to anyone. You just ran away. If you ran away, if you got away, you're good.
Yeah.
If you run away, you're good.
Oh, you didn't get caught right there and then. You were
no mess, no
everything
fight.
Was cool. Mm-hmm.
Which we also tried with graffiti, mostly. Then. Mostly got away.
Mostly.
Sick
pictures. Woodstock 2001, maybe 2000. On the right, Kutais.
Yeah,
the right. Gaz. Yeah, that was Heidelberg. Heidelberg Kloof Woodstock.
Woodstock. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where we buy it off the roof. I don't know who did. Who was there with us? Remember, we were jumping off the roof.
That was wild.
Yeah. Didn't Claudia get knocked out in that one?
Definitely. Well, one of the two years that we went there. I don't know which one it was, but then on the left, I think that's from the parking lot. Remember we
Jenga Judge?
Yes, there we go.
Yeah,
Aaron Feinberg and Shane Scower.
That's
it looks like it.
That's sick. A sick mistrial. Such a rad shot.
Yeah, dude.
So
love those tricks, bro. Those skates as well. Both pairs of skates, the red ones and
exactly.
The
oh man, Kutais were prime.
Such skates, bro.
Yeah.
Such a big upgrade from like let's say Majestics only a few years behind this.
Yeah,
what a massive upgrade in technology of the skates.
Well, when did the first Fifth Elements came out? That was after Majestics. It was Fifth Elements, right?
Money.
And then
99, 2000.
Yeah. And then the next iteration was the Kutais, which
was in 98 at the World Champs. I bought my
Fifth Elements. 98, yeah.
The 98.
You could get the red ones, you could get the white ones. I remember Jackson had sick pair of black ones. You remember the all black?
Cliff had these blue ones, didn't he?
And then Jackson had cut away the lace pieces so they looked sort of wider and fatter. I eventually landed up with those skates, actually, but the all black was rare. And I think Cliff had the silver pair for a little while. Remember? The silver ones?
Yes.
Cliff or Herman also had a blue pair. There was like
this Herman had a blue pair. I remember
the
blue
pair. Or after that.
Teal got the blue pair, didn't he?
I know Herman had
at some point.
Teal could have also, Yeah, those were the rare. I don't know how they got their hands on those. We weren't offered those. There were different tiers to the sponsorship, apparently.
But yeah, that's funny because you mentioned the skates. Was it Fifth Elements or Kutais where dudes would start cutting out tongues from other shoes and then put it into the skate under the laces, have an extra puff?
Oh, the tongues. Ooh, tongues.
Yes.
So then,
shoe tongues.
When were the Grails then in this whole, or the Grails, Grails?
That was after Kutais, right?
Is it?
Yeah. They were after Kutais.
Yeah.
Because I remember those Grails from more the Rand shows that we started doing, well, like 2002 onwards.
Fails. The fails.
And speaking of the weird tongues, they tried to put additional tongues on top with a zipper.
That zip,
like there was
yeah.
laces, dude, and then there was a double tongue with a zipper, and we would cut them off. So it was they couldn't win. That's an example where they're trying to modify the skates to go with what's happening, and then you're like, nah, I don't want that. I'm gonna cut
that
off.
That trend's over.
Flash
that
in the pan.
These skates suck. We want new ones.
Oh man, those are super cool picks there.
Kutais were rad though. Oof, Kutais.
Yeah, they were the best. Oh man, here we go. On the left, we got Garrett doing alley-oop fish at the.
Did you get these from my sister?
No, I've had these on file somewhere, so I pulled those out.
Yeah, see that alley-oop fish one is so sick with the Boogaloo's logo. Who took that?
I love that, George Rodney.
That was George.
Yeah,
took one.
Such a beautiful photo. You got one of should if they still existed. but the other one he got is of Frank doing the back unity on the same spot. Then he took a few. It was for his portfolio, his photography portfolio, and we did the bus stop. So it is, and I think a stretch of a month or so. We did the bus stop. And then at Vitz as well, he got some sick shots at Vitz. He took really nice photos, I must say. Those were like the best photos we had taken of us.
Very and, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
That's Garrett.
Is that Garrett?
Garrett, Alip Top Acid.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
This
was Alip Top.
Alip Top, yeah.
And such a
that's in town, like by the Standard Bank somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Standard Bank. Yeah. I think kind of the last days of town skating, like it felt like this sort of stage. It wasn't early days of Joburg Town.
That's the skates I still have now, bro. So
okay, there we go. Yeah, it's jumping around a little bit, but
yeah, no, it's fine. I'm just saying it's whatever.
Yeah. Super epic job.
I remember those.
You took the Ali Acid.
I'm not sure who is. Frank was filming and taking photos that day. Maybe Graham Howard.
I think Graham Howard, because it looks quite fisheye. And it looks like it could be one of those shots. Shout out Graham Howard.
Word.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Awesome. I think that brings us to our last slide where we got the cover of our mixtape going on.
So cool. Who took that photo?
I think Graham Howard. Huh? This was Graham the same day. Yeah.
Same day, definitely.
The same session, yeah. But I love that.
Didn't this come off the camcorder? Or was it a picture?
I think it was a photo. But we were filming a lot here as well. But I dig that you could find these little pockets in like the CBD, one of the sort of, you know, most dangerous places in the world, rugged as anything. And here's a nice little patch of grass where you can just hang out for a little bit. You know what I mean?
It's, take a load
off. And it was kind of abandoned on the weekends.
CBD is fun. I used to love it.
Yeah, you'd start at the top at Standard Bank, and then you kind of work your way down to, well, there was the library. I'm trying to think where we'd end up. You'd kind of end up at the front of town. You'd start at the back, and you'd end in the front, you know? Yeah. So sick. Skating from spot to spot was the best. Just like the crew of 10 or 15 of you, and you're just in the streets. Nobody else is really around. Yes, dude, amazing.
On Sundays, it was so quiet. It was very cool to go skate in town on the weekend. Yeah,
it was lekker. It was lekker. Yeah. Oh, those granite curbs are just
butter.
So good.
Yeah, those were the best.
Yes, Frank, remember the municipality curbs in Rustenburg?
Yeah, dude.
Yes, dude.
We used to live there, bro.
It was the Rustenburg's municipality. It was like the... That was the spot, dude. Like, that was the skate park we never had. They had, like, granite curbs, and then they had these, like, concrete curbs, but they'd been polishing them for years, bro, with, like, this red polish. I don't know what it is, but, dude, they didn't need any wax. They were slippery as hell, dude. And we literally, like, farmed there, bro. We were there... Like all weekends, dude. Like all of us, like a crew of like 20 kids, would just hang out there all weekend. So eventually, at the municipality, like on the weekend when it's closed. And eventually, they cut with a grinder, cut gaps out of like gaps out of the fucking curbs, so that we couldn't skate them anymore, bro.
Ridiculous.
Freaking ridiculous. So you could only do like Mizus and stuff. So we still skated them. you just couldn't put your like front sole foot down because it would hook into the curb. But like any sole tricks, like Macchios, Alley-oop Macchios, we still skated it. So they were, like there's literally nothing for kids to do in Rustenburg except for like drugs. And then they like cut up our stairs that keep us out of drugs. Did you hear that? Municipality.
Yeah.
Now we're all on drugs. Now we're all on drugs. Bro.
You guys are destroying this curb, so we're going to destroy it ourselves. Exactly. So that you can destroy it.
And you know how ugly it made it look, bro? Like cutting
it sure.
It was ridiculous. It was like just super spiteful, eh? Like completely. Mm-hmm. It's actually mind blowing.
But because our skates were plastic, so we weren't really messing up the curbs at all.
No.
It was just we waxed polish, them a bit. We
made the polish all black.
Yeah.
But
we should go back there.
Is what it is.
We skated this there was this kink at this this private school in Rustenburg called Selly Park Convent. It was not a convent, convent. So it's weird, like we didn't know anyone from that school. Like all the kids from that school were like, no one really knew them. Like, does it exist? So anyway, they had this badass kink rail, and we used to mission there, climb over the gate and everything. Like we used to like search out rails in Rustenburg, you know. Obviously there's not much to choose from, so like you used to like track to schools and try to find rails. Found this badass kink, skated the hell out of it for months, and then we got bust. We had to full on paint the rail
like community service
I have to come and repaint it, and we went and freaking painted it.
I see.
I don't know if we did the best job, but
did you ever skate it again after that?
The what?
Dude, it was like 10 kinks, bro. It was like,
man, it was like heaven. It was beautiful. It was great. Billy sidewalked the whole thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Some dudes were like, super.
I just sold it.
Yeah.
But it was badass, bro. We were on high.
And it had both sides. So I top sold it and normal sold it.
There was some beauties in Rustenburg. Some beauties.
Yeah.
I went street skating with you guys there once.
Yes.
A few times.
More than once, I'm sure.
Yes. Who did you break your rib on the Selly Park rail? Or was it me?
On the bottom one. It was me. I broke this rib on the bottom one. It was the first rail I ever did. And my foot slipped off and it swung me around and I landed with my ribs on the rail. And I broke, I think, a rib. And I couldn't even breathe properly for like months.
I think I did the same. Do you remember the Linksfield? Was it Linksfield? Sydenham? No? There was a kink trail, and then next to it there was the straight rail. Like, where was that? What area is that? Sydenham? No, it's not Sydenham.
Near there. It was
Sydenham,
like,
Sydenham was the remember, kink and the straight rail. There was small kink here and a fairly decent straight rail that used to end at the movie shop or something.
You've actually, in your section in, is it Monsters, where you're trying to get on Soul Grind and you keep missing.
Well, I hit my ribs like a few times.
Yeah. I think on that one, I bust my rib as well, because same as you said, Frank, I couldn't take a breath in for like weeks. Ooh. And you can't do anything about it. You just got to wait for it to heal.
You just got to wait. Yeah, wait it out.
It was such a common injury if you missed a Soul Grind to hit your ribs.
Just break into schools, just go climbing over the school wall and fence or whatever, just go look for stuff to skate.
So many schools. Schools were not a problem. It wasn't a thing. You chuck your skates over the wall, come over the wall, put your skates back on and you're there. Yes, we got chased out a lot of places before.
There was one time with Garrett and I, and there was a school principal at Auer, and he full-on slapped us. He slapped Garrett. And he chased us away, like, it was crazy. We were like...
In the face?
We were like...
Yeah, dude. Back in the day, bro, when you were allowed to beat a kid.
The good old days.
And, we were skating these big rails. They had these fat rails. And this... Garrett did this really big square rail. It was huge. He railed it. And that was quite epic. It was steeper than Kailami's rail, and it was square, and it was like probably 20 stairs at least.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yes.
That square rail is scary, flipping bro.
Fast, bro.
Yeah, totally.
A square rail.
That's and we had another square rail in Rustenburg.
You know those like flat ones
that we scattered.
Like, it's like
yes, it's like a banister.
Flipping flatty.
Yeah.
No,
dude. Maybe it was because. You always, they're like sharp. And it felt like if you didn't get on right, you could slip off so easily. And then you got that 90 degree to deal with on your shin.
You can do the top side. You got to be top side on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was good. They had these, like Frank had these fatties, you know, those fat rails like this, where you can kind of do top side tricks on a round rail. Oh, man, that was a lacquer rail. That was fun.
Yeah.
And there was quite a lot of kids skating in Rustenburg, Like, not, you know, there was obviously, like, the few of us who that would come to Kailami and compete and stuff. But there was, like, a lot of freaking kids, bro. There was also, like, a big roller hockey thing for a while in Rustenburg.
Yeah.
I think that was the precursor to a lot of it. Because for me, I was playing roller hockey and then eventually saw at the skate park that the aggressive style of inline skating and gravitated towards that and switched to doing that. But there was like a long time where like it was just fun to play roller hockey. And
I mean when I first started it was just fun like bombing hills, bro. You know, there wasn't we didn't know about like I say, grinds and anything like that. We just had rollerblades, you know, like we got these rollerblades. We were like, these things are cool. And because we came from skateboarding, there was a half pipe in Rustenburg. So we skated on the half pipe because naturally we did all the same. We skated all the same places we would on our
skateboard.
On our skateboards, you know, because we'd skate, jump stairs with the skateboard. So now we're doing it with the rollerblades and going on the thing. And then Frank, I'll never forget, bro. A movie that changed my life was The Bottom Line. Do you remember, Frank?
Mm.
Have you guys seen The Bottom Line, bro?
It's more of a vert video mainly. I remember. It's a vert video.
Not so much, video.
Oh, really?
No.
Not so much.
But
street skating or grinding was very small then, you know. The vert was out before the grinding. There was still really crazy tricks happening on the vert before the grinding, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. But, dude, that movie was like, it was just...
Well, Chris Edwards, bro.
Right? About David Payne, eh? Or something. But, yeah,
it was.
The music had a lot of punk rock in it. It was so good, eh? Wow. I remember Frank was like, come and look at this. Because we were all skating already, you know? Like I said, half pipes and skating around town and roller hockeying. Frank came with this fucking DVD, VHS, I mean. And he was like, come, let me show you something. Dude, after I saw that, I was like, done. When are we doing this? How are we doing it? Let's go get a rail. You know?
Rewind it. Play it again.
Rewind it. Let's check that move again. No, that was a game changer for me with The Bottom Line. Eh?
I think that must have been...
Well, you and me both.
The sort of...
I mean, Frank had a quarter pipe in his backyard, bro. Frank had a quarter pipe in his backyard when we were in high school.
Oh, that's sick.
Did you have that before?
I got it in 1996,
Because
to me...
Asked for my 16th birthday.
Did you build it, Frank? Or someone
We bought it from the skateboarder. My mom bought it from a skateboarder, and we had this concrete backyard, and so we put it up there, and it had this straight launch box, and I attached a rail to the launch box, and so, that became our skate
park. Frank's house was our, like, little skate park, bro. We'd spend hours at Frank's house learning flips on the quarter, all sorts of things, stalls on the quarter, grinds on the little rail,
Going back to what you were saying there, Garrett, it's interesting that you only saw skate videos after you were already skating and doing tricks and shit. And I feel it's the same for us because, as you say, we had skateboarded. Well, my older brother was a skateboarder, so I had been skateboarding with him. And it just seemed natural once you put on rollerblades to kind of use the same, you'd skate the same thing, just now with a different apparatus on your feet.
Totally.
And only then did we see videos and we're like, holy shit, this is actually a thing that's happening overseas. And we had been doing it already. So I don't know how, maybe it was just that skateboard influence that kind of took us in that direction of it.
And that's what happened in America too. It was guys with skateboard influence that did rollerblading, you know. We were quite lucky in Rustenburg. We had a friend called, his name was Emil Buerta. He actually passed away the other day, unfortunately. But he was a major pioneer for skating, skateboarding, and I would say maybe rollerblading a bit as well in Rustenburg, because he was a roller skater, dude. Like he skateboarded, right? And then he had roller skates which he modified and put, you remember those rails on the outside of skateboards that they had back in the day, those plastic rails that you used to board slide with? He took a piece of that and put it in between the trucks, like on his roller skates, so that he could like board slide with his roller skates. And that was like back before rollerblades even. He had these roller skates.
Yeah.
And then when rollerblades came out, when he saw us rollerblading, like he even bought a pair of Majestics and started rollerblading with us. But he was like also like a pioneer. We saw him doing this stuff on roller skates before we got rollerblades. I mean, we still had skateboards back then, you know. So that was also quite crazy for a little town like Rustenburg, you know, to have, first of all, a fucking half pipe. And then second of all, this dude that does this stuff, you know, or was doing it.
You know, no, he pretty much taught us how to drop in and air and do all sorts of stuff.
Like, he guided us, like, this is how you must do it, you know, if we can do this, do that. Because, you know, you do sit drops at first, or while we did. You sit drop and then you sort of pull your legs up under your bum and let yourself go down, you know, with your arms. You're like just, you know, just to learn. Yes, Billy, you guys know Billy, he... He was like, the one day, they're like, oh, it's, I don't know. It was, he was trying to drop in, bro, and he dropped in. And you know when your feet shoot out from underneath you, where you don't lean forward enough? Oof. Shot out, like, literally parallel, put his both of his arms behind him to catch himself, landed on his arm.
Oh, no.
It was like this, broke both of his arms, had two broken arms.
Oh, my fuck.
So bad.
Oh, yeah, like, walking around in class like this.
That is worst case scenario.
Worst, like, that's the worst thing that can ever happen to you, ever, dropping in, like,
yes,
that's so bad.
If there was a worst case scenario video, that would have been it.
Yeah, oh, that's horrific. Shout out Billy, horrific, man, that's rough, dude.
Shout out Billy.
Shout out to Billy.
Yeah, man, tell us what it all meant to you, bro, like, the history, the growing up, friends, everything.
I don't know. Fuck. Jeez, what a question.
It's a big question.
It's a big one. Sorry. Well, I mean, we're all still friends.
I think it's still unfolding, you know, don't you think?
Like, oh, well,
I know we don't skate as often as we used to, but it's still the, you know,
still a part of us.
Our story is still unfolding, you know what I mean? As friends, as people who committed so many years to skating.
Yeah, it's not really what it meant, what it's meant to me. It's what it is, bro. If you get, I don't know.
Yeah.
If you ask me what it meant to you, it means it's in the past. And it's like this thing that meant to me, you know, like, for me, it's still an ongoing thing because you guys are my friends and you guys are the guys I rollerbladed with. So it's this ongoing journey and ongoing friendship, bro, that just sort of keeps growing in my opinion, you know. And especially now with us all having kids and stuff like that as well, it's like that journey's now fucking developing into more shit, you know. And you know, then it's full circle, our kids have rollerblades. Or whatever.
No jokes, my daughter's got a pair of skates and she's skating.
Awesome. Yeah, Nick's daughter skates. Your guys are getting old enough. Byron's girls are getting there, old enough as well. It's going to happen, I'm sure.
Eventually, for sure. They're going to want to play with us.
Are skateboarding a bit at the moment. They've got going skateboard skills.
And the scooter boards and everything. I mean, when you're that age, when you're so young, like, any wheels are so cool to have, like, your first bike everything, man.
You know, my kids, like, they just dig all of it, you know. Like, you know, everything Red Bull, you know, is like amazing. They're like, Dad, check this Red Bull video. You know, that kind of stuff.
That's awesome. That's so sick.
Well, so do I. So I guess that's where they get it from. But yeah, they love it, dude. I think if Phoenix gets a motorbike one day, he might surprise us.
Full motocross. Yeah, man.
But yeah, I mean, I feel the journey is just it's still continuing, you know, all of what we did there. What it means to me as well is it is me, you know, it made me all of everything we went through from, growing up with it in Rustenburg, what we, you know, like I said, what we went through, the animosity we felt or we got from the community, cause we just looked different. Not even the fact that we skated, but we wore like baggy clothes, listened to rap music, you know, it was like very, very bad, you know, like people thought we were the fucking Antichrist. So you grow as a person going through that shit in a town like that, being a small percentage or a tiny minority of people in the town. I think it grew me as a person. And then also coming into, you know, skating at the level we did, I think, showed me how to push myself and, you know, as a human as well and as a person. And so it builds on the experience, you know, and you know, it's mostly my whole life has been structured around or built on it. And the knowledge I've gotten is all from it, I guess, you know, branched off from it, you know. I mean, I wasn't really good at sports and things like that. I wasn't like first team rugby and all of that, but I was on Team Rosie's, bro. So fucking, you know what I mean? And that was because of the commitment I put into it, you know? So yes, I wasn't on first team fucking rugby, but I didn't play rugby every day. I skated every day.
Yeah.
And through skating every day, I mean, we went to the World Champs, Frank and I was on Team Rosie's, sponsored for a good 10 years almost, you know what I mean? Jeez. Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess, what I extracted from it or extract from it. And I've used that still to this day, you know, use references 100%. Of, you know, how you got to those points and did those things. And I even like, you know, things I learned through it, I'm teaching my kids, you know, and stuff like that, you know.
Well, there was so much tenacity to it because you'd be trying something new and scary and difficult. And you would fall and like maybe get hurt, and you had to, and not even had to. You like wanted to get up over and over again to like try this thing because you wanted
try it again.
Wanted it
try
to happen it so badly that like for me the ultimate lesson there is just get up and do it again and try again, keep going and keep going.
Never give up. You know, and I mean even now. Training MMA, you know, it's the same things, bro. It's exactly the same thing, bro. Is never give up, never be scared, you know, like those things. It's the exact same policies, bro. And I think those are the things, you know, that are universal. You know, it's not just for, let's say, MMA or skating or whatever, or any kind of sports. And you can take it through into life as well. It's just never give up, dude. Keep persevering, working on it. And sooner or later, you'll be having breakthroughs, you know.
It's the ultimate lesson, yeah, because it's that hard work in a direction of what you want to accomplish.
Yeah, focus.
You will get there eventually. You focus, exactly. And if you keep taking one step.
You can focus your energy onto one thing. There's no way. There's nothing that's going to fucking stop you from achieving that one thing. All you need to do is focus all your energy in that one direction and for that one thing, and you'll get it.
Persevere. That's what I've seen,
you know? And I've seen it time and time again through different things in my life, through business, you know, like I say, MMA, my kids, all sorts of things, you know, you persevere. I mean, a relationship as well, you know, with your wife, you know, with Anya, it's also like you work on things, you know, you don't just like give up or, you know, it's this perseverance, I guess, you know. Love you, babe.
Shout out to all our wives. Thanks for thanks for the time off, and we appreciate you. But I think it's a beautiful thing, the tenacity and perseverance, and as you say, the focus of your energy towards goals that you want to accomplish is something anyone can do. But as Garrett says, like you just can't give up. There's going to be setbacks, and you got to keep on walking towards it, keep working towards it.
Even look at the energy we've given into our friendships, bro. Not just the skating thing. Mm-hmm. Just the energy we've concentrated into our friendships is to keep our friendships alive and well, and to keep in contact with each other as much as we can. I mean, that alone, you know, is shows. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Thing.
You know. And that grows an amazing friendship, and I feel that's what we've grown over all these years. You know what I mean? Like, I really respect and appreciate the friendships we've made out of rollerblading, and I mean, look, we're still great friends to this day, right? I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. Like I say, our kids are growing up together, and I mean, what's better than that, man?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful lifelong friendship, and it's a new era of the young ones growing up and getting into it too. So hopefully we can all have them skating together and vibing together in no time. And I think that's
just
probably
the skating
place
part,
as any.
The other stuff we did when we weren't skating.
So that's a whole different discussion.
Boys, thanks, bro. I appreciate the time you guys taking out for all of this. And, you know, I think doing this podcast, if only just for us, is amazing, you know. You know, yeah, for everyone just to, you know, have a cool perspective of everything and where everyone comes from, you know, in this thing, which is really great.
Thank you so much, Garrett, for joining us. Really rad chat and trip down memory lane.
Yeah, man, that was good.
Yeah.
Have a lucky Sunday, boys.
You too, Garrett. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Don't forget to click subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Adios.
Cool. Peace. Yeah. Peace. Thanks to my mom and Bez for always being amazing through all the rollerblading. Love you too.
Big shout-out, and thank you.
Just a shout-out to Lino's Skate Shop, Andrea, Janice, Ricardo. They've been great supporters of us and the podcast and rollerblading in South Africa. So look out for something from the two of us sometime in the future.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can collab.
Let us know in the comments who you want to see as a guest on the show. That'd be cool. Obviously, we're gonna get some of the other friends on sooner or later. But for this time, enjoy our chat with Garrett. All right. See you guys.
Cool. Thanks,
peace,
guys.
Oh, peace.